Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, as always, it's always an honor and privilege to be able to share with you on Sunday mornings. I'm so thankful and grateful to Pastor Allen and Miss Joy. How many of you know that we're blessed to have leaders like Pastor Allen and Miss Joy? We are so, so blessed. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking, oh Lord, it's that guy who makes us say things all the time. And guess what? I got something for you to say today. Hey, look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, when life runs dry, God still provides. Now that person didn't believe you, so look at the other person. Look at him in the eyes and say, when life runs dry, God still provides. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You see, we serve a God that there is nothing too difficult for him. Hear me now. I'm talking about if you find yourself in a situation today where you have very little in the bank account, God still provides. I'm talking about a God who, if you find yourself in your marriage today and you're hanging on by a thread, guess what? If you put it in the master's hand, God still provides. I'm talking about a God who, when the doctors come and tell you there's nothing else that they can do, guess what? There is nothing too difficult for the Lord, and God still provides. That's who we're talking about today. We're talking about a God who still provides. And he's a faithful God and a good God. What I found here is sometimes we know he's a faithful God and a good God for our friends, for our family. Sometimes we have a hard time believing those things for ourselves. And so today I want to pull out of a passage of scripture, and it's found in 1 Kings. Let me just give you the backstory here. So the setting is this. King Ahab has now just been put on the throne, and he's turned the people away from God to serve Baal, who's a false god. And in so doing, what God decides is he's going to enlist Elijah's help to get things turned around. And so he brings Elijah on the scene, and Elijah speaks to the people and calls forth a drought in all the land because of their rebellion. And so there's a drought, there's a famine, and also with that going on, Elijah is placed in an area where God begins to feed him and give him water from a brook so that he's provided for in his own way. And what happens? The Bible says the brook dried up. You ever been there in life where the brook in your financial area dries up? Where things get a little dry in the relationship with your spouse? Where life gets a little dry? Well, let's pick up the story from there in 1 Kings. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, get up, go to Zarephath that belongs to Sidon and stay there. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. And so Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. And when he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow gathering wood. Elijah called to her and said, please bring me a little cup of water and let me drink. And as she went to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug. Just now I am gathering a couple of sticks in order to go and prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat it and die. Then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first, make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son, for this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The flour jar will not become empty and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Then the woman, Elijah, and her household ate for many days. The flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord. He had spoken through Elijah. You see, this morning, as we're talking about God providing, I want to look at Elijah, and I want to look at this widow. If we focus on Elijah, It says God provided for him, right? Food is being brought to him by the birds. He's getting water from the brook. He's doing exactly what God told him to do. And then all of a sudden, the brook dries up. But here's the deal. When the brook dried up, Elijah didn't all of a sudden shift his mentality and start saying, woe is me, what am I gonna do? No, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, the word of the Lord came saying. You see, what I found is you and I, what we have to do, the very first thing we have to do is put our trust in God and his word. We have to put our trust in God and his word. And here's what I'm talking about. When I speak of trust, I'm talking a firm, confident reliance upon the faithfulness of God. Meaning we are assured, we are secured, and we are confident that if God said it, then I believe it. God told him, I want you to go to this place and this woman is going to provide for you. Elijah didn't think twice about it. He just did it. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. With some of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You may think you have it figured out. You may think what you need to do. But he says, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We have to place our trust in the Lord. Why is that important? Because when God's word is the foundation in our life, when we hear God's word, when we read God's word, when we internalize it and we do what it says, it becomes the foundation of our very lives, the foundation of every decision. And what happens? God's word causes us to become aligned with his truth for our lives. Maybe you're like Derek, right? A young Derek. And Derek didn't listen to mom. Derek used to always drive his car. My mom would say, you need to get your car aligned. And I'm like, mom, I know what I'm doing. Yet I would drive my car, but I would have to drive it like this to keep it straight going down the road because I wasn't listening to mom. I needed an alignment. Alignment was a right for the car in order for it to operate perfectly. Guys, when we listen to God's word, when we internalize it and do what it says, it causes us to be in alignment with what God's will is for our life. And so when God says something, we have to be willing to take a step and follow that direction. The Bible says that in Proverbs 30 and 5, it's not on the screens, but the Bible says that every word of God proves true. Every word of God proves true. It even proves true for you. If you are going through something in your body, the word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. If you found yourself struggling in a season of lack, the Bible says that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Every word of God proves true. We have to trust and believe that if God said it, then it will happen. In Isaiah 55, 11, it says, my word which comes forth from my mouth, it's like the rain and the snow, and it will not come back to me without results. It will accomplish whatever I want and achieve whatever I send it to do. God, I love that. God backed his word. He gave us a guarantee. My word will produce for you. You know, I'm not just telling you something this morning that I've heard others say or I've read. I'm telling you something that I've lived out and experienced for myself. You know, if you've heard me teach many times in the past, at some point in time, you've heard my story about when my wife and I, when we were younger, we were still living in San Antonio, and we lost everything. We lost our home. She lost her job. I was in ministry. I lost a ministry opportunity. A lot of things just took place, and we found ourselves hitting rock bottom. We lost everything, and I mean, it was the worst point of our life. And the interesting thing here is we lost the finances because someone stole money from my wife, which impacted us financially. And so we went from this big 3,000 square foot home that we had, first home ever, into this small little duplex on the wrong side of town. And let me just paint the picture. This is our current situation at that time. It was a small duplex. You know, a duplex, you share walls with someone else. So on the other side, there was a guy who sold drugs to all the local junior high school people and everything, and people would come all hours of the night buying drugs. Also, we found out the wrong way when my wife opened the door and the duplex was surrounded by police officers. We found out that the wife was wanted for murder in Ohio, and so we're living next door to these people. That wasn't even the worst part to me. On the inside of our duplex, we had wood rats. Now, in San Antonio, I don't know if you've seen those, but wood rats are about this long, and that's not including the tail. Their body is this long. I'm talking about rats that walk up to your refrigerator, stand up, open it, and ask you if you want something while they're in there. Big rats. We had scorpions on the floor. We had snakes running around in there. Not a good situation. So with all that going on, I praise God that I had a wife that was pressing into the Lord. Because if I'm honest with you, I didn't want to have anything to do with the Bible. I didn't want to have anything to do with coming to church. I was angry. And in my heart, at that time, I was justified in my anger. Why? Because I didn't do anything wrong. And for weeks, I was angry at God, angry at my wife, because she kept saying, just trust and believe. I'm like, get out of my face. But how many of you know that my anger did not produce the righteousness of God? My anger did not turn that situation around. It wasn't until I got in alignment and began to trust God and trust His word that things began to turn around. I was reading in the scriptures, and I guess maybe I'd got tired of being angry, and I opened the Bible, and there was a parable. And in this parable, it was about a man who owed the ruler a large sum of money. And so he goes, because he couldn't pay for it, he asked the ruler to forgive him, and the ruler forgives him, and then he turns and he's going along his way, and there's this young man who owes him a small portion of money. And he refused to forgive the young man, and things didn't turn out well for him because of that. Well, as I'm reading this, I didn't hear no audible voice, but on the inside, I felt the Lord impressing upon me to let it go. And can I tell you? I was mad at the fact that God would tell me to let it go. Like, I was in my room praying, but I wasn't praying, I was complaining. I was in the room, and I'm like, I'm not letting it go. I didn't do anything wrong. My wife's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I'm talking to God, get out of here. And I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong. This is not right, this is not fair. And I wrestled with God for a couple of weeks. But finally, I said, you know what, Lord? I surrender. You see, what I found is true trust in God is full surrender. Yes, sir. You have to be willing to let go and allow God to do it His way. And so I let it go. And I'll share here in just a minute how that helped us as we went along down the road. But what I want to encourage you with is this. When you trust the word of the Lord, you need to spend time in God's word, and then you need to ask yourself today, where do I need to trust Him? What do I need to trust Him with today? And watch what He begins to show you and be willing to do what He tells you to do. And so with Elijah, a word of the Lord came to him, and he responded. Now, when we look at the widow, here's the interesting thing to me. It says in verse 11 and 12, she said, I only have a handful of flour, and I'm gathering a few sticks. And this is interesting to me. Elijah says, okay, but bring me a loaf and give it to me first. And I think about Derek. You know, I'm a little off, y'all, so you have to excuse me. But can you imagine? The Bible doesn't say anything about anybody else being with a lady. But let's just say Derek was there with the lady when Elijah said, bring me something first. I can hear it now. Elijah saying, give me a loaf first. I would have been like, bruh, didn't you just hear what she just said? She ain't got nothing else, man. Like, she's getting ready to die. But sometimes we get caught up on what we don't have. And we think that God's asking us to give, to supply what we don't have. My encouragement to you is take what you have now, the little bit that you have, and give it to Him. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, meaning be willing to do it His way. And then all of these things will be added unto you. Let me just encourage you in this. One of the things, I've had the opportunity to be involved in ministry here, and one of the things that I've seen a lot is we've made the relationship with God about us. It's not about us. It's about Him. And so we have to be willing to seek Him, not for what He can do for us, Not what for what he can give us, but seeking him. And if you'll put him first and learn his ways, everything else will take care of itself. So what does that look like? Lord, I don't have any other time. I'm stressed out. I don't know what to do. Give the Lord that little bit of time you have left by serving, by plugging in, by speaking to people about him. And watch what he begins to do. Lord, all I have is this amount of money. Take that seed, plant it into the kingdom of God, and watch what God begins to do. Lord, I'm hanging on by a thread. If he looks at me cross-eyed, I'm out. Take that marriage, place it in his hand, and watch what the Lord begins to do in your relationship. My wife will tell you, I didn't start off well as a husband. But I'm thankful that she took the little bit of love that she had at that time and placed it in the master's hand. You know, I thought she was with me. You know, I went through this Miami Vice phase, so I had silk pants and silk shirt. So I thought she was with me because of how I dressed. Later on, she told me it was in spite of how I dressed that she got with me. But she took the little bit of love and patience and want to be in a relationship, placed it in the master's hand, and she told me verbatim that the Lord expanded my love for you, my appreciation for me. And in fact, in that, he began to show me how to pray for you. And her prayers, her willingness to place it in God's hand, caused an angry man to change. We have to be willing, when life runs dry, to give whatever it is that we have and place it in the hand of the one who will provide. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, "For if the eagerness and willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what one does not have." You know, the widow was saying she just had just enough for one last meal, but Elijah said, "Give it to me anyways." And so what we have to learn is it takes faith and obedience, guys. But it's funny, that word obedience, we don't use that much anymore, do we? Nope. Hey, if you're married this morning, all you wives, look at your husband and tell him to obey. Don't work, do it. Now you husband, now look at your wife, you husbands, and tell her obey. And duck when you tell her. Tell her obey. Right. Because when we hear that word obey, what do we hear? We hear control. We hear someone overriding our will. Guys, can I tell you? Obedience will help you. Obedience is a good thing, especially obedience to the Lord. I'm talking about biblical obedience. It's not rule following or mere compliance. It's a full-hearted response to hearing, trusting, and submitting to God's word. And what happens is when you take faith and obedience and put them together, you get a transformed life. You get a transformed marriage. You get a transformed body. God can transform any situation. Why? Because faith and obedience will lead you into his blessings. How many of you know that God is a good God and there's nothing too difficult for him? All right, so about this middle section knows. All right. Anybody over here know that God's a good God? Nothing's too difficult for him? About 80 of y'all believe that, okay? What about over here? Does anybody believe that God is a good God? All right, Ark Church, we got people watching online. Is there anybody in this place that believes that God's a good God and there's nothing too difficult for him? There you go. So you're clapping, and that thing that you walked in here on your mind, that thing that you were dealing with yesterday, that thing is covered under what I just said. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. Nothing in your life that's too difficult for him. And so give it to him. Be obedient. Do what he says. He might tell you to pray for your spouse. You might be like Derek, I don't want to pray for your spouse. What I'll tell you is this, nothing will change. But when you begin to do what the Lord tells you to do, everything will turn around. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to God's word, You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, meaning the word of God, the word that sets you free, and you do what it says, then God will bless you for doing it. Faith and obedience leads to blessing. And then Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young, now I'm old, yet have never seen the righteous abandoned or his children begging for bread. Guys, every word of God proves true. I want you to take your finger and put it here in your chest and say, every word of God, proves true for me. It does. It proves true. You know, I talked about how the Lord told me I needed to forgive this man. I made a meeting with this guy. I went and met him, and I went and I said, hey, just reading in the scriptures, I realized I was wrong and wanted to let you know the debt is forgiven. Can I tell you what this man did? He looked at me and he said, whatever, and walked out the room. I wanted to snatch him up so quick. But here's the deal. It has nothing to do with his response. It has everything to do with my obedience. And I'm going to tell you, my obedience set off a chain of events that changed my life from that moment on. It wasn't a few weeks later. I'd worked for the company that I was working for 10 years. And then I go into work one Monday, and the CEO, whom I had never met in this Fortune 500 company, comes to our facility, and we had the smallest facility in San Antonio. I'm talking about a worldwide organization. San Antonio has the smallest building, smallest number of employees. This man shows up and says, I've had my eye on you. And I'm like, stalker? But I'm like, what do you mean? He says, we have an opportunity in Houston, Texas for you that we want to give you. So we came up here, we looked at it, I prayed about it, really felt like it was God's leading. And when they gave me the promotion, they were still trying to figure it out. And so they said, you're going to have to move without any monetary adjustment and just move, you know, in a title only. Came back. My wife felt like it was the Lord. We talked to our family, talked to our church family. Nobody agreed with us. In fact, the statement they made was, if you can't make it in San Antonio, there's no way you'll make it in Houston. But I know what God told me. We felt it strong on the inside. And so we took a step. So we rolled into town, me, my wife, and my three little kids, not knowing where we were going to go. The only thing I knew was, as Pastor Alan Clayton used to come to our church, so I wanted to find out where he was so we could go to his church, found out he was in Conroe, Texas. And I still remember, we were driving in, and at the time I called it Kuykendall Road. So we were driving in on Kuykendall Road. Hey, there's no R in Kuykendall, I'm sorry. We drove in, I pulled into this real estate office, and this lady who was 4 foot nothing with a big beehive haircut was sitting there, she was typing. She goes, may I help you? And I walked in and I said, hey, me and my family, we're new to town. We're looking for a place to stay. And she said, okay, you're looking for a house to buy? I said, no, ma'am, I'm looking for a house to rent. And she goes, oh, I only deal with $1 million homes. And I said, okay, I'm sorry, ma'am. I turned to walk out. She goes, stop. I think I'm supposed to help you. And I said, you are? She said, sit down. And then she starts typing. Two pieces of paper print out. She goes, is your family in the car? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, follow me. So she got in the car. I don't know this woman. She's just leading me somewhere now. And so we follow. We go to 2920 in Bridgestone, and we pull up, and she shows us this house. She goes, go look at it. And so my wife and kids go in, and I just hear screaming. They're all excited. They're screaming. I'm outside because I'm like, look, lady, you need to tell me bottom line because I'm not getting my hopes up high. And she said, did I ask you how much you could afford? I said, no, ma'am. Around this time, my wife comes out, and I said, well, what do you think? She goes, I love it. It has everything that we need. And she goes, what did you pay in your duplex? And I told her what we paid in our duplex. She goes, I'll be right back. She goes, I need to talk to the owner. I'm thinking she's going to pull out a phone and get on the phone. She walks next door. She's in there for a period of time. She comes back. She goes, deal. She gives me the keys. This woman doesn't know me and my family. She gives me the keys. What was happening? God was confirming his word because of obedience. So we get into a house. I start work, go to work. Things start happening again. Remember, no monetary adjustment. We start working. Things are going well. And then after a week, I get called into an office, and my boss comes and he says, hey, you're doing a good job. We're going to double your salary. And I'm like, what? Okay. Period of weeks goes by again. Some things happen. We bring on new customer base, and things are getting difficult. We're working long hours. The big boss flies down, the one who hired me comes down and goes, hey man, I want you to hang in there. I know things are tough. You're doing a great job. We're going to increase your salary again. I'm like, wow, okay. Period of months goes by. Things are going strong. You know, I'm getting my footing, but things are still tough. I come in one day, and the big boss is down again. He calls me into the office, and he goes, hey, you're doing a great job. Hang in there. We're going to increase your salary a third time. And this time, I looked at him, and I said, why are you doing this? He said, why do you care? Take the money. So I took the money. Not only that, but around this time, God started doing a healing in me when it came to church, because quite honestly, with what we went through back in San Antonio, I didn't trust church people for anything. I didn't like any of y'all, okay? And so I stayed away to myself, but God started a healing work in me because I started going to a class called Healing Class, and in that, God gave me a desire, so then I plugged in and I started working in the sound booth. I spent one night in Art Kids, realized that wasn't my thing, but I started serving and plugging in, and then one day, Pastor Allen, I bumped into him. He goes, you need to start teaching the class. And so I'll never forget, my first class here at the church was called Grasshoppers and Giants. And the first week, one person came. The second week, nobody came. But you know what? I still taught myself. The third week, nobody was there. The fourth week, two people came. But I was faithful in that. What was happening? Because I was obedient to God, God was beginning to restore things back into my life. He was beginning to repair, to heal. And in all of that, I have an opportunity to stand up here today and share the word of God with you guys. So be willing to take whatever you have and place it in the hand of the one who loves you like no one else can. Obedience is huge. It's huge, and you have to be willing to go there. There's a beautiful story in the book of John. It's the first miracle that Jesus ever did. Jesus and his mother are at a wedding, and the Bible says that they ran out of wine. And I'll never forget it. They ran out of wine. They're like, what are we going to do? And she looks at the people and she tells them, do whatever he tells you to do, pointing to Jesus. And we have to be willing to do the same thing. Whatever the Lord tells us to do regarding our finances, regarding our relationship and our marriage, regarding our health, to do it. Why? Because life change happens in the application. Your life will change when you begin to do what the Lord tells you to do. And what happens? It unlocks miracles, it unlocks breakthrough, and they come on your behalf. But understand this, miracles and breakthrough, it doesn't just happen. It's not like a big Shazam moment and then all of a sudden you're out of debt. Or a Shazam moment and all of a sudden you and your husband are looking at each other with googly eyes again. It's a process. It's a step by step. Look, I'm a big boy. I didn't gain all this weight overnight. It took time. But we have to be willing to allow the process to play out. Matthew 6:11 says, give us today our daily bread. Every day, let me encourage you, get up and thank the Lord. Lord, thank you because you're here with me today. Thank you, Lord God, and give me today what I need to move forward. Give me today what I need to love her like I need to. Give me today what I need to provide for my resources and my family. Give us today our daily bread and understand that God's good, he's faithful, and he has something for you every day. Lamentations 3:22 through 23 says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we don't perish. For his mercies are never, they never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So stay faithful in the little things and understand that your miracle will show up through consistency, day after day. So to wrap all this up, my encouragement to you is this. Trust in the Word. Trust in His Word. Give what you have, that little bit, that little hope. Place it in the Master's hands. And when He gives you clarity and He gives you direction, obey Him. Do what He's telling you to do, and expect provision through his daily faithfulness. There's a quote that I love that says, little becomes much when it's placed in the Master's hand. Place it in his hand, guys. Why? Because the promise to you and I is every word of God will prove true, and it's going to prove true for you. So my encouragement today is this. What's your handful of flour? What's your last meal? Whatever it is, give it to Jesus today. Pray and ask the Lord, what am I holding on to that you are asking me to give? Because when you give that last to Jesus, he always gives more. You will never be able to outgive the Lord. Will you bow your heads this morning? This morning, I've talked about a lot of things. I've talked about him being a provider, a healer. I've talked about him being a one who's going to bless us and help us in this dry season. But you might be here today and you might even, may not even know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, I believe that today, June 29th at 11:58, I believe that today for all of us, and especially for those of you who don't know him, today is a day where the tide of the battle turns in your favor. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you that if on this day you have a desire to surrender it all to the Lord, to turn your life for him and to yoke up with him from this day forward, if you say, I want to come to know the Lord for the very first time, or if you want to say this morning that I want to get my life back on track, I knew him at one time, but I want to come back to him. If either one of those are you, I'm going to ask as an act of faith, if you just lift your hand and say, that's me. I want to know the Lord today. This is my day. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. You can put those down. You know, God sees hands and he sees hearts. And so this morning, we're all going to say a confession that we say every week here at the church. And I'm going to ask you all, let's say it together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, I thank you for every person in this place that has come back to you or made you their personal Lord and Savior for the very first time. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for speaking to their hearts, giving them clarity and direction, renewed energy and renewed strength. And Father, I thank you for all of us. Thank you for giving us a revelation that our best days and our blessed days are ahead of us. Father, I ask you to bless every person in this building. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.